Thank you for that prayer, Steve. Well, it's good to be at Westside Community Church. I'm glad to share the Word of God with you today. Isn't God's Word wonderful?
Amen.
What a comfort it is to us to hear the Word of God and be blessed by it. And I love the Word of God. I cherish it for its comfort and encouragement, and it's such a blessing in my life. And especially the book of Psalms. We're going to look at that today. Psalm 91, Ben read for us Psalm 91, and we're going to look at that today in depth. And it's such a blessing to know the Word of God. Well, I bet you didn't know this, but today is Norwegian Independence Day. Back in 1905, on this day, Norway was granted independence from Sweden and Denmark. And that's significant to our family because Marcy's mom came from Norway. And so we celebrate that today, Greta, as well. And so you can join with us in celebrating Norwegian Independence Day. Yeah, woohoo! Well, before we get into the Word of God, I always like to share something humorous, so I have a story for you. The story is told of a young boy named Jordan, who was 5 years old, and he went on a trip with his school to the police station. And when he was at the police station, he saw the pictures of the 10 most wanted criminals. And after he looked at those pictures, he ended up talking to a police officer, and he said, "Are these guys mean?" And he said, "Oh yeah, they're mean, and we're going to catch them." And Jordan paused and looked at the officer and said, "So why didn't you catch them when you got their pictures?" Don't you love kids? They're bold and honest. Well, as we go to the Word of God, before we do that, let's go to a word of prayer to the Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word and the power that it has in our lives. We praise you for your Word and how it touches our lives. And we look forward to what you're going to tell us by the Word of God today, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we look to you and we ask that you would take away any distractions that might exist, any anxious thoughts, take them away from us, and help us to rest in you and be close to you. Take your Word and touch us as only you can. Change us as only you can by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to be changed in some way because of your Word today. We love you, Lord. We praise you for who you are. And we give you all the glory. And we ask that you would touch us in some way because of your Word today. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray in Christ's name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Well, I'm sure it's no secret to you that we live in an insecure and uncertain world. We look at the gas prices and we say, we know they're going to come down at some point. We're confident, but we don't know when. We look at the war in Iran that our country has been having, and we know that's going to end soon, but we don't know when that's going to happen. And while there are uncertainties and insecurities, we also know that there are good things that are happening. There's an upsurge of youth really invested in God. And there's across Christian campuses across the United States, there's a revival. Did you know that? It's exciting to know about that. And there's an upsurge of interest in the Word of God. Bibles are being purchased on the average of 30% more among youth. And I'm so glad about that. But we do live in uncertain times, an uncertain world. Where can we go to find confidence in God? Where can we go to find the trust that we need in God? We know that only in God we find security. Amen?
Amen.
He's the only one we can trust in, lean on, and go to as our shelter. And we're going to find that in Psalm 91. And I love this psalm. This is one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. And I love the book of Psalms. It's my favorite book in the scriptures. And as we look at this scripture today, we'll see that God pictures himself as an eagle and the believer as an eaglet, underneath his wings. What a great picture. Let's look at this word of God in Psalm 91. First of all, we see that God assures security for the believer from life's dangerous threats. Aren't you glad about that? That we can find God as our shelter, our refuge, our fortress, our deliverer, our strong tower that we depend on. Amen? Amen. And that's good news for us today. God assures security for the believer from life's dangerous threats. We see that in verses 1 through 8. Well, what are some words for security? Well, safety, certainty, freedom from worry, protection, and shelter. We'd all like to have those things, wouldn't we? And you know, only in God can we find those things. Well, we find under that point that God shelters the believer from harm. God shelters the believer from harm. Aren't you glad for that? He protects us. He shelters us. He surrounds us with protection. And we'll find that in verses 1 to 4. Would you look at the Bible, Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4, and let me read that to you. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions or his wings, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark." Those are reassuring words to us, aren't they, today? Well, Psalm 91 is a psalm of confidence or trust in God. And the background of a psalm of confidence is that, first of all, a summary statement is given, and then it's followed by specific examples in that scripture. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2, is a summary statement, and God is the believer's security. And then verses 3 to 13 follow with specific examples of the security that God provides. Aren't you glad that God gives us security and certainty and safety in Him? And we can depend on Him? He is a good God. And then the setting is that the psalmist had most likely been experiencing fears from battle or plague or mortal dangers. You see that in verses 5 to 6. And mortal dangers in verses 12 to 13. And the psalm comes out of that situation. So how can we summarize the psalm? Well, we can say that despite life's difficulties and threats, the believer is secure from them by virtue of the protection of the Lord. Isn't that good to know that God protects you? God shelters you? God keeps you safe in Him? Remember, a number of years ago, we were down in the Bay Area, and during that time, Greta's mom had a heart attack. We went down there to minister to her, and trusting that God would bring her out of that, which He did. That's a whole separate story I can tell you about. But during that time when we were down there, I was traveling on the Bay Bridge, on the top deck of that bridge. Do you know that 2 weeks later, that earthquake came and the top deck was demolished and collapsed to below? I am so glad that God protected me from danger during that time. Oh, that very place is where I was, and God protected me. Amen? Amen? God is a good God. He's the inaccessibly lofty one, the Most High. We see that in this scripture. He's also El Shaddai, the Almighty One. Raps means God, the Mountain One, either highlighting the invincible power of God or referring to the mountains as His symbolic home. We see that in verse 1 of Psalm 121. You remember the song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai? That's the Almighty One. That's the God that we know and love and serve. And it was a special name by which the patriarchs were ministered to by God, El Shaddai. Shelter? Where is that? It's the place that God puts His beloved ones from life's trials, protects them from life's trials. God protects us and gives us safety. Well, not only that, but God removes fear from the believer's life. Aren't you glad for that? God takes fear away from us, and we can depend on Him, to trust Him, to lean on Him, to look to Him for the shelter and protection that we need. And we see that in verses 5 to 6 in Psalm 91. He says, "You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon." God removes fear from the believer's life, and I'm so glad that He does that. A classic story of that is found in Mark 4, verses 35 to 40. So turn in your Bibles, if you have them, with me to that passage, and we'll see an example of that. Mark 4, verses 35 to 40. "And on that day, when evening had come, He, being Jesus, said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side.' And leaving the multitude, they took Him along with them, just as He was in the boat, and other boats were with Him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was filling up. And He Himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke Him and said to Him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And being aroused, He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be calm.'" Can't you see it? Christ stilling the storm, stilling the waves. And they became calm. "And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And He said to them, 'Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?'" God removes fear from the believer's life. And Christ stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Let me ask you a question today. Are there storms in your life that you're facing? Are there things that are causing you to fear in your life today? My friend, the same Christ that stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee can still that storm in your life today. Amen?
Amen.
For God is our shelter, our protection, our refuge, our fortress, our high tower. In fact, the Word of God says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are saved. Isn't that good news? And we need good news today, don't we? Especially in the world that we live in. Christ will still the storm and take the fear out of your life. And I can attest to that in my life today. God promises in this psalm, "You will not be afraid." Isn't that good news? We all need some good news today. You know, I have to pray every time I turn on the news because I never know what I'm going to hear. Sometimes I wish I hadn't turned it on. But good news comes from God, and He will make us have peace. "You will not be afraid," it says in verse 5. God protects the believer, and the believer is protected by Him. And he possesses absence of fear by virtue of the Lord's protection. That's good news. Not only does God remove fear for the believer, but God protects the believer from his enemies. Where do I find that? In verses 7 to 8. Look with me there. Verse 7. "A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked." I'm so glad that God protects the believer from his enemies. Have you ever had somebody intentionally intend evil against you and it failed? I've had that happen in my life, and God protected me. He brought good out of it. And I'm so glad that He does that. We'll also see that God assures the believer of triumph over life's difficulties. God assures the believer triumph over life's difficulties. Aren't you glad for that? And that's in verses 9 to 16. And verse 9 is a restatement of verses 1 to 2. God assures triumph over life's difficulties. And God is a refuge from evil for those who trust in Him. We see that in verses 9 to 13. Look with me there. "For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For you will give His angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you will trample down. It's so good to know that God protects us. And Franz Delitzsch, who was a commentator from years ago, said this: the promises in this psalm mount higher and higher and sound more glorious. Isn't that true? So many wonderful promises in this psalm. And in the verses 9 to 13 that I just read, the assurance of protection is provided and continued. God assures you that you will ultimately triumph over whatever difficulty you're going through. Isn't that good news? God is our protection, our shelter, our deliverer, our high tower, and we can depend on Him and throw our lives upon Him. And that's good news, isn't it? We need that today in the world that we live in. Well, I like that phrase, your dwelling place. And your dwelling place is a place of peace and safety. And we see that in also Psalm 90, verse 1, written by Moses. He says, Lord, thou hast been my dwelling place in all generations. And it's good to know that we can come to the Lord and know peace and safety in Him. I'm so glad for that. Well, God is a refuge for the believer because He is our fortress. Isn't that good news? And fortresses in Old Testament times protected cities from enemy attack. This is what James Freeman said in a book called Manners and Customs of the Bible. He said that some of the cities of Scripture are thought to have been protected by stockades of wood. Sometimes there was more than one wall to a fortified city. And it was thus with Jerusalem. Sometimes there was a ditch outside the wall and a low wall or rampart protecting that. At regular distances along the wall, there were towers for the purpose of watching and defense. The gates were strongly protected with bolts or bars of brass or iron. Sometimes there was built at some central point within the city a citadel or stronghold. You've heard that word stronghold before? Well, that's where that comes from. That stronghold was built within that wall so it might resist enemy attack even after the walls were destroyed. My friends, God and Jesus Christ is our stronghold. Amen? Amen? He is our refuge, the one that we depend on, the one that we lean on, the one that we trust in, and we give Him all the glory and the praise. Amen? He is our good and gracious God. And we sang about that as Jessica led us in worship. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Well, the protection of angels in verses 11 to 12 is a universal but not even an exceptional fact for believers. I kept my angels really busy during my life. I'm sure they've helped me many times in driving or whatever in life. God's protecting me, and I've kept them busy. Maybe you have too. I remember one time when Greta and I had gone to church on Christmas Day, and we were driving along, and it was kind of icy during that day. And we were driving along in Beaverton, we slipped into a ditch. We didn't intend to, but we did. And we couldn't get out of the ditch. And so we prayed, and this car came behind us and pushed us out of the ditch. Well, you know, it wasn't just a few seconds later, I looked around for those people, and I couldn't see anybody. Amazing. I believe that angels brought us out of that ditch. God is so good. God is so good. And Hebrews 1:14 shows us that angels were sent by God for the protection of believers. Well, we also see that God is provider of promises for those who trust in Him. Listen to verses 14 to 16. Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him securely on high, because He has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. With a long life I will satisfy Him, and let Him behold my salvation. God is a provider of promises to those who trust Him. And there are so many promises in Scripture, aren't there? We're so thankful for the promises of God. And it says here in verse 9 that I will protect him. actually verse 14. And another word for that is deliver. I will deliver him, the New American Standard. Literally means I will raise him high to secure place. Here God himself, through prophetic divine pronouncement, supports the author's testimony by assuring the believer with all the promises of God, those who trust in him. So good to know the promises of God, amen? And it's worthy to memorize those so that when you have trouble, when you go through difficulties, we all do, that they can come to mind and help us and lift us up. It says also that I will be with him in trouble in these verses. It's probably the trouble of impending death. He says, I will rescue him, referring to the rescue from death. Years ago, I was 17 years old. And obviously that was years ago. I'm 70 now. But back then, on a Saturday, I was experiencing great pain in my stomach. And it wouldn't go away, it wouldn't go away. It got worse and worse. And finally, I ended up in the hospital. And I had had an acute appendicitis attack. And the surgeon, and then they did surgery for me. And I was in the hospital for 12 days. Well, the surgeon came back to my room and talked to me, and he said, you're a lucky young man. Well, I wasn't lucky. It was the sovereignty of God. But he said, you could have died from what happened to you. My appendix had ruptured, and I had peritonitis, but God spared me. My friends, do you know that year I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior? God knew that I was going to do that, and he protected me and preserved me. Amen? God is a good God. And I thank him for it. Well, what are some practical tips of how we can find security in an insecure world? Well, let me give you a few, and then we'll close soon. First of all, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, there is no protection, no security for you. Now, let me step back and say that I believe that most of us, if not all of us, are believers here in this church, in this room. But if you're not, you can reach out to Christ, and he will save you. If you confess him as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Scripture says in Romans 10 that we are saved. And only in Christ is there peace and freedom from life's difficulties. Dedicate your life to him, and he will give you that eternal peace. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, but feel insecure or afraid or uncertain, I encourage you to take several scriptures and commit them to memory. Psalm 91 is a great one here. I love this psalm. Psalm 23 is a good one to do as well. Or Isaiah 41:10. Listen to these words. Do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you. My righteous right hand. Those are good words, aren't they? And you can put your name in there. Do not fear, for I am with you. Ben, Bob, John. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you. My righteous right hand. And when you're going through difficulties, those scriptures will come up in your mind and encourage you and bless you. I can attest to that. Another point of application is that you can seek out believers who you can meet with and spend time with, that you feel safe with, that you can pray about your struggles and your insecurities and inadequacies, and they'll help you. Resist the temptation to isolate yourself. It will only hurt you. And did you know that women live on average of 7 years longer than us men? I know that's not good, but it's good for them. But one of the reasons is they have relationships with other people. Greta is an example of this. She's been great about keeping in touch with friends over the years for a long time, conversing with them and writing notes. Find that security with other believers, and it's a blessing. Another point of application is to read inspirational biographies from believers who have overcome their insecurities and inadequacies. people like Martin Luther, Billy Graham. Read about the life of Timothy and how Paul encouraged him not to be afraid. Remember what Paul told Timothy? God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God's given us in Jesus Christ, because He is our shelter. He is our protection. He is our refuge. He is our stronghold that we can lean on. Amen? And we can trust in Him. The amazing true story of Alaska Airlines Flight 261, in which all aboard perished, is told. After the crash, the black box was found, and on it an incredible discovery was made. You see, a pastor's wife had gotten a hold of the public address system for the airplane, and for 9 minutes, she was calmly sharing Christ with all in the plane, and then led in a prayer so all could hear for anyone wanted to accept Christ as their Savior. I'm getting chills up my spine as I read this. My friends, she had a very attentive audience that day. Isn't it amazing that God can take the greatest good and bring it out of a tragedy? That's the God that we know. That's the God that we love. And that's the God that you and I serve. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you that you are our protection. Thank you that you are our shelter, our refuge, the one that we come to when we're fearful or afraid. And we know that because we lean on you, you are our peace. You are the one that gives us tranquility and serenity. Lord, I thank you for these dear people. And I pray that you would take us next week and give us your peace, even in challenging situations. And we know that you're there with us. Lord, bless us. Draw us near to you, that we may know the peace that passes all understanding. And we'll praise you for it and bless you for it. In Christ's name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's receive our benediction this afternoon. All eyes closed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a good week.
Bob, would you like to bless the meal too?
Oh yeah, forgot about it.